coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations with Pastor Gregory Seltz.
The Lutheran Hour, bringing Christ to the nations. Christ's resurrection began God's great do-over, the undoing of death and the start of a new creation. Today, Pastor Gregory Seltz tells what that means for you.
You know, if you feel like a failure, like you've wasted all your second chances, hear the restoring words of Jesus for you. He broke the bonds of your crippling failures when he rose again from the dead on Easter morning. The living Savior Jesus is proof that your life in him is brand new. By faith in him, there is the gift of a gracious do-over.
Stay with us for Pastor Seltz's message titled, A Resurrection Do-Over. Today's message is based on the gospel reading for the third Sunday of Easter from John chapter 21. Now here's Pastor Gregory Seltz.
Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any fish?" And they answered him, "No." He said to them, "Well, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of Jesus, who even when you feel out of options, not only offers forgiveness for your past, but real hope for your future. Amen. Tomorrow is the big day, right? Yes, it's April 15th. Once again, income tax forms and payments are due. You know, don't you wish that for 1 year someone would just forget about that day, maybe give you and me a shot at putting our money to work, restarting things in our lives? You've heard people ask the question, what are the only two things we can depend on in life? Many so-called realists answer, death and taxes. Depressing, isn't it? But let's be honest, sometimes that's the way all of us feel. Maybe today you're tired. Maybe life has exhausted you. You don't feel that great. And the same thing is inevitable tomorrow, just like today. Even worse, plenty of new troubles come before you can deal with the laundry list of the old ones. Inevitable, routine, beyond your strength and control, is the same old, just another version of death and taxes. Well, you know, I think that's how Peter may have felt after Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection from the dead. Now, you think the Apostle Peter would be more excited. After all, he witnessed the greatest miracle ever to take place on earth. He walked into Jesus' empty tomb. And on the evening of Jesus' resurrection, the Savior appeared to him and his fellow disciples. Peter saw the nail marks in Jesus' hands and the wounds in his side. He was overjoyed as Jesus spoke with them and blessed them with the Holy Spirit. But for Peter, there was a nagging problem, one that would have kept haunting him. Remember what happened that night of Jesus' trial and in the early morning hours before Jesus' death. Peter turned his back on Jesus. 3 times he denied that he even knew the Savior, even though Peter swore that he would never disown his teacher, his friend. Instead, his fear and frailty took over. He was a traitor, a disappointment, a failure. So what did Peter do after Jesus showed himself alive and well? He had a death and taxes moment. Sure, it was great. Jesus is alive, but he was still a denier, a disappointment. Maybe he felt he had no other option in life but to return to the same old, same old. You may even know how that feels. You know, you revert back to old behaviors because you feel like there are really no other options. So Peter went back to doing what he had always done. John 21 says, Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and the 2 others of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. After all, that's what he was, a fisherman, right? He may have thought, you know, Jesus, you picked the wrong man. You know, having denied and disappointed Jesus, he could at least do what he had always done, be a fisherman. So he went back to the boat and to the nets. Do you ever feel that way about your future? Do you wonder if your life is useful? Do you feel like you're stuck in a rut and can never change? Even worse, do you feel like you failed and have no hope of a second chance or a third or a fourth? It's a death and taxes moment, isn't it? Either you lose hope and simply go through the motions every day, or you drift back to old, destructive patterns. Perhaps you go back to not trying anymore at all in your relationships. Maybe you revert to getting angry too easily or stepping back into an addiction. You end up hurting yourself and all the people around you, but it feels so inevitable. You wonder if your life matters at all. Well, dear friend, we've all been overwhelmed at times in this sinful world in our broken lives. If a death and taxes moment is overwhelming you now, please take heart. Today, Jesus shows you that your life truly matters and that you are precious and important in God's sight. Today, your Savior lets you know that even in the midst of your own frailty and failure, He is working in your life with His forgiving and gracious love. Jesus draws you close. He forgives you, renews you, and uses your life to make a difference, His difference, in this world. He can make a do-over a real possibility, too. Just like He did with those disciples that day. John goes on to say, just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples didn't know that it was Jesus. So He said to them, children, do you have any fish? And they answered Him, no. He said, cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. Jesus spoke. Jesus directed. Jesus blessed. And the fishless fishermen who couldn't even do what they do best suddenly were in the middle of a fish frenzy. Friend, I want to let you know today that you can live your life trusting that the risen Savior has done and will continue to do something very special with your life. In fact, to those who trust in Jesus as their Savior, your life is a work of art in His hands. Isaiah the prophet reminds us in chapter 64, yet you, Lord, are our Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are the work of your hand. Have you seen the movie Mr. Holland's Opus? It's a story of a talented musician and composer who decided to get a day job so he could pay the bills and spend time with his family. Glenn Holland, the main character of the film, became a high school music teacher at 30 years of age. He thought that this would be a temporary gig, you know, something to do while he composed his magnum opus. To Mr. Holland, teaching was a means to an end. His real dream was to write and to direct his own orchestral composition, one that would be played around the world, giving him fame and fortune. But Holland's temporary gig became more permanent. You see, life got in the way. He started to care deeply about his students. He fought for the music program, advocated for kids in need, and taught them about the rich and wonderful beauty of the arts. And with a growing family at home and an extended family at school, his life was full. Some nights he would try to sit at his desk at home and work on his composition, but he was tired and time was short. After 30 years, his orchestral work sat in a drawer at home, complete but unpublished. Then came a terrible development in Mr. Holland's life. The music program was suddenly cut from the budget. Just like that, his 30-year teaching career was over. He packed up his desk, feeling like his life hadn't mattered at all. But when the day of his retirement came, he was ushered into the school auditorium. It was packed with former students. After hearing about Mr. Holland's dismissal, former students decided to surprise their beloved teacher in a wonderful way. They pulled out their instruments and secretly practiced playing Mr. Holland's orchestral composition. When he walked into the auditorium on his last day, they asked him to be the conductor of his own musical debut. Even the governor of the state, a former student, played in his orchestra that day. You see, Mr. Holland realized that his magnum opus was not a musical composition. His greatest work was the investment, the care that he took in the lives of his family and students. He felt that his life was a waste, but in reality, it was a beautiful work of art. That's what Jesus showed Peter. Peter thought that his life was an irretrievable failure. But Jesus showed up, and he let Peter know that even his ordinary life was a beautiful work of art in Jesus' hands. Peter was a fisherman who couldn't even catch fish. But with Jesus in his life, everything changed. John continues the report, "When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he threw himself into the sea. The other disciples came in the boat dragging the net full of fish, and when they got out on dry land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Jesus said, 'Bring some of the fish that you have just caught.' So Simon went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them." Peter had seen this happen before. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus provided another miraculous catch of fish. After that miracle, Jesus called Peter to follow him. He said, "From now on, you will be catching men." And even now, Jesus was not writing him off because of his failures. Instead, he was calling him back to himself. With his merciful forgiveness and empowering grace, Jesus was making a do-over possible in Peter's life, a life that would be a graced work of art, lived by faith towards God and fervent love towards others. Peter and Mr. Holland are not the only ones with such possibilities. In Jesus Christ, redeemed and forgiven by him, your life can be a graced work of art too. In Christ, your life can be brand new too, because he did the ultimate do-over of all time, and he did it all for you. He fulfilled all of God's law perfectly in your place, so that you not only receive God's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation, but you become a vessel of that to others. Even when you don't realize it, Jesus can use you to make an impact for him. Even if you haven't achieved your hopes and dreams, Jesus can use your life to make his beautiful difference in the lives of others. Your life is a work of art in the redeeming and gracious hands of the risen Savior. Jesus has you where you're at for his purpose. You know, if you're a stay-at-home mom or a factory worker, a business person or a resident of a nursing home, a teenager or an 80-year-old, Jesus makes your life a work of art. Well, how is this possible? Well, because your life was purchased with the precious blood of Jesus. That's why Peter jumped out of the boat and he rushed ashore. But you know, I don't think he was prepared for what would happen next. I mean, Jesus made the do-over happen right there at the beach. John reports, Jesus said, "Come and have breakfast." And when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said, "Tend my sheep." And then he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was grieved because he said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Do you see what happened? Peter was stressed out and guilt-laden because of his denial of Jesus. Three times he swore that he had never met the Savior. That regret, pain, and failure haunted him. How could God ever use him for reaching out to the world? How could he ever be of any value to anyone? So Jesus stepped in. Three times he asked Peter if he loved him, and three times Jesus called Peter to be a shepherd of his sheep. Jesus restored Peter. He gave Peter a precious gift, the blessing of a do-over. You know, if you feel like a failure, like you've wasted all your second chances, if you look at your life and feel that you can't be much good to anybody for anything, hear the restoring words of Jesus for you. He took the consequences of your sins and failures as he hung on the cross and received God's punishment of death. He broke the bonds of your crippling failures when he rose again from the dead on Easter morning. The living Savior Jesus is proof that your life in him is brand new. By faith in him, there is the gift of a gracious do-over. Jesus calls you by name, forgives your every sin, and commissions you for service to him. That is a do-over gift waiting for you today, right now. You know, a real-life story that made a big difference in my life when I was young was the story of Nikki Cruz. It showed me how God could really transform people's lives when there really was no hope for anything else. I read the story in a book called The Cross and the Switchblade. Cruz was a notorious New York gang member. As a young boy, he was neglected and abused by his parents. He became a vicious young man and a notorious leader of a violent gang in the city. One day, a preacher by the name of David Wilkerson visited Nicky's neighborhood. Cruz slapped Wilkerson and threatened to kill him. But the preacher responded by telling Nicky that Jesus loved him and that nothing could ever stop Jesus' love for him. Cruz was shocked. He had never been shown such love. Well, 2 weeks later, as Wilkerson preached to the crowds in the neighborhood again, Nicky Cruz heard the message of Christ's love and asked God to forgive him. Nicky Cruz's life began to change. He led his gang members to turn their weapons into the police. He began to read the Bible. He even became a preacher and returned to his neighborhood to share the new life Jesus gives with more gang members. You know, when I was a mission pastor in New York City, I worked in that same neighborhood on the west side of Manhattan. It is still known as Hell's Kitchen. But because of the work of pastors like Wilkerson and others, because of our work at Church for All Nations, it's no longer Hell's Kitchen for many, but in reality, it's Heaven's Gateway. You know, believe me, that neighborhood has changed a lot because of the do-over of one man's life that seemed so hopeless. But that's God's specialty. In Jesus Christ, God gives gracious do-overs. If you feel like you're too far gone or that you've used up all your chances, listen to Jesus' words to Peter. Jesus Christ, who came to save sinners, he spoke to his denier and gave him the gift of a new life, new purpose. And your life can be a graced work of art in the Savior's hands, too. Jesus knows you're not perfect. He meets you where you're at. That's what he did for Peter. It's interesting that in the original Greek language, the first two times Jesus asked Peter if he loved him, he uses the word that describes God's self-sacrificial love. It's the word agape. You may have heard that term before. But the third time Jesus asked Peter about his love, he used the word for friendship, love that people show. It's the Greek word phileo, like Philadelphia. Jesus took the pressure off Peter. He met him where he was at, but by grace would not leave him there. And that's what's true for you and me today. Jesus meets us where we're at. He recognizes that we aren't God. No, we need God. He meets you in your frailty, fear, and doubt, and lets you know that your sins are washed away. Today's a new beginning. As Jesus was raised from the dead, you too in him are raised to new life. The resurrection of Jesus means you have a do-over, and your life today is the beginning of a graced work of art to bless others in his name, now and forever. Amen.
You're listening to The Lutheran Hour. That was the Concordia Seminary Chorus. Pastor Seltz's Easter message is available on video, recorded on location at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem. You'll find the video at our website, LutheranHour.org. Do you base your identity on where you've been, what you've done, or what other people say about you? Did you know your true identity is found in what God says about you and what Jesus has done for you? Learn more as you read the free booklet, The Mystery of You. For your free copy, call the Lutheran Hour toll-free, 1-855-JOHN-3-16. Be part of the first annual Men's Network Workday, coming April 27th. For more information, go to lhmmen.com. Each week, the Lutheran Hour shares the good news of God's forgiving love for us in Jesus Christ. If these messages have helped you and you'd like to share that blessing with others, consider making a gift to support this ministry, as you are able. One way to do that is by becoming a monthly supporter. You can set up automatic gifts that work within your budget and allow you to partner with us in God's mission. To learn more, go to LutheranHour.org and click on Automatic Giving. With your continued faithful support, we are bringing Christ to the nations and the nations to the church. Now Pastor Seltz leads us in praying the Lord's Prayer.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen.
Pastor Gregory Seltz responds to questions from listeners. I'm Mark Eicher. Today's question, what is our obligation as Christians to the government?
It must be that time of year again in the United States, right? Tax time. I think there are a lot of Americans, Christian and non, asking that question today, aren't there?
I would say so, and perhaps a few people who aren't very enthused about all those tax payments that
right.
are due.
You know, while we don't always feel great about our April 15th payments, the Bible does address the issue of our Christian role as citizens. In fact, we don't just have a duty to the government, we have a duty to God in how we relate to the world in which we live.
And Jesus said that paying taxes was a citizen's duty. He said, therefore, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's.
Yes, and this was a test by the Pharisees to see if they could steer Jesus away from his real mission. They were hoping that he was an anti-Caesar, anti-government revolutionary, but Jesus didn't come to battle dying earthly kingdoms. His words show us that we're called to be good and responsible citizens, even as we remain focused on the only kingdom that will last, God's kingdom.
And does the Bible provide additional guidance as to our relationship with the government?
Well, St. Paul gives us some excellent guidance. In Romans chapter 13, we hear Paul put our relationship to the government in perspective. He even mentions taxes. He says, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed, and those who resist will incur judgment. For because of this, you also pay taxes, for the authorities are ministers of God, attending to this very thing. So pay to all what is owed them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, and honor to whom honor is owed."
There's a lot in that passage, but I think that covers the issue for today.
Yeah, it sure does. But remember that such reverence is always in service to the higher calling of being bearers of Christ's gospel. So Paul mentions key points of being good citizens along the way and lets us know that God will hold the governing authorities accountable too, for they are his servants to keep order in this sinful world.
We can trust that God's in control even when we disagree.
Right. You know, we're called to be respectful to those in public office. Our discourse should always be respectful, even in disagreement. You know, Paul even calls us to pray for those in authority. He says in 1 Timothy 2, "First of all, then, I urge supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all in high positions. This is good. It's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth." So we're not only to tolerate our governing authorities, but we're called to lift them up in prayer, with our ultimate goal being the goal of seeing salvation in Jesus shared throughout the world.
But what if the government opposes God's ways and what Scripture teaches?
Well, then as Americans, we do have a unique way of dealing with that. We can vote for things. We can hold elected officials accountable even while voting for what we believe is right for all people.
Now, down through history, sometimes Christians didn't have such a voice or an opportunity, and governments opposed, suppressed, perhaps even persecuted Christians. Does the Bible give us guidance even then?
Well, it does. In Acts chapter 5, after the apostles were put in jail because of their proclamation of Jesus, an angel of the Lord opened the doors, set them free, and told them, "Go stand in the temple courts and tell the people the full message of this new life." The apostles obeyed, but they were immediately confronted for telling this good news about Jesus. So when commanded to stop, Peter and the other apostles replied, "We must obey God rather than men." So when authorities oppose the gospel, we're called to obey God and not the authorities.
Well, that could lead to serious conflict. How then is a Christian supposed to conduct himself or herself when standing up against authority?
Well, we have the guidance of Jesus' life for that answer. Even Peter said, "But in your hearts, honor Christ as Lord, as holy. Always be prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks for a reason for the hope in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect."
Thank you, Pastor Seltz. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.